Master had been staying at his 29 Palms retreat. He returned to Mount Washington on March 2nd to meet His Excellency Binoy R. Sheen, India's recently appointed ambassador to the United States. On the evening of his return, he embraced each of us lovingly and blessed us. To some he gave words of personal help, to others encouragement to be stable in their efforts, to still others the advice to meditate more. Afterwards I got to see him briefly upstairs alone. Many times over the past 3.5 years, Master had scolded me, mostly for my slowness in understanding him perfectly, sometimes for not weighing in advance the possible consequences of my words. I knew that he often said, "I scold only those who listen, not those who don't." But in my heart there lingered a certain hurt. Try as I would, I couldn't rationalize it away. For some months I had been hungering for a few words of approval from him. Now, alone with me, he gazed into my eyes with deep love and understanding, and said, "You have pleased me very much. I want you to know that." What a burden lifted from my heart at these few simple words. On Tuesday, March 4th, the ambassador and his party visited Mount Washington. I served Master and his guests in his upstairs interview room. During their visit, Mr. Ahuja, India's Consul General in San Francisco, remarked to Master, "Ambassadors may come and ambassadors may go. You, Paramahansaji, are India's real ambassador to America." Tuesday evening, March 6th, Master returned from a ride in the car. He asked Clifford Frederick, who was driving, to take him behind Mount Washington to Rome Drive. There, gazing at the main building, he remarked quietly, "It looks like a castle, doesn't it?" The monks had just finished their group practice of the energization exercises when Master's car entered the driveway. As we gathered around him, he touched each of us in blessing. He then spoke at length about some of the delusions devotees encounter on the path. "Don't waste your time," he said. "No one can give you the desire for God. That is something you must cultivate yourself. Don't sleep a great deal. Sleep is the unconscious way of contacting God. Meditation is a state beyond sleep, superconsciousness as opposed to subconsciousness. Don't spend too much time joking. I myself like to laugh, but I have my sense of humor under control. When I am serious, nobody can tempt me to laugh. Be happy and cheerful within, grave but ever cheerful. Why waste your spiritual perception in useless words? When you have filled the bucket of your consciousness with the milk of peace, keep it that way. Don't drive holes in it with joking and idle speech. Don't waste time on distractions, reading all the time, and so on. If reading is instructive, of course it is good. But I tell people, if you read 1 hour, then write 2 hours, think 3 hours, and meditate all the time. No matter how much this organization keeps me busy, I never forego my daily tryst with God." In the basement, minutes later, Master saw a box of green coconuts that had just arrived from A.B. George's brother in Florida. Back at the car, Divine Mother was telling me these coconuts had come, but I didn't listen. I was talking too much. Master, laughing delightedly, opened a coconut and drank from it. But his enjoyment seemed to me, for some reason, tinged with unreality. I looked into his eyes and saw them deep, still, utterly untouched by what he was doing. In retrospect, it seems like the heartiness of one who knew he was bidding us goodbye, but didn't want us to know he was doing so. Catching my glance, he became all at once almost grave. "I have a big day tomorrow," he said. Walking toward the elevator, he paused at the door, then repeated, "I have a big day tomorrow. Wish me luck." The following day, March 7th, he came downstairs to go out. He was scheduled to attend a banquet that evening at the Biltmore Hotel in honor of the Indian ambassador. "Imagine," he said, "I've taken a room at the Biltmore. That's where I first started in this city." Then he repeated, "Wish me luck." Master had asked me to attend the banquet with Dick Hames, the popular singer and movie actor. Dick had recently become a disciple and had taken Kriya initiation from me. "Years ago," Master had said, "when I leave this earth, I want to go speaking of my America and my India." In a song about India that he had written, to the tune of the popular song My California, he paraphrased the ending of that popular version with the words, "I know when I die, in joy I will sigh for my sunny, grand old India." Once, too, in a lecture he had stated, "A heart attack is the easiest way to die. That is how I choose to die." This evening, all those predictions were to prove true. Master was scheduled to speak after the banquet. His brief talk was so sweet, so almost tender, that I think everyone present felt embraced in the gossamer net of his love. Warmly he spoke of India and America, and of their respective contributions to world peace and true human progress. He talked of their future cooperation. Finally, he read his beautiful poem, My India. Throughout his speech, I was busy recording his words, keeping my eyes on my notebook. He came to the last lines of the poem, "Where Ganges, woods, Himalayan caves, and men dream God, I am hallowed. My body touched that sod." Sod became a long-drawn sigh. Suddenly, from all sides of the room, there was a shriek. I looked up. "What is it?" I demanded of Dick Hames, seated beside me. "What happened?" "Master fainted," he replied. "Oh, no, Master, you wouldn't faint. You've left us. You've left us." "The forgotten playwright in me," cried silently. "This is too perfect a way for you to go for it to mean anything else." I hastened to where Master lay. A look of bliss was on his face. Virginia Wright was stooped over him, trying desperately to revive him. Mr. Ahuja, the consul general, came over to me and put an arm around my shoulders to comfort me. Never, dear friend, will I forget that sweet act of kindness. They brought Master's body to Mount Washington and placed it lovingly on his bed. One by one we went in, weeping, and knelt by his bedside. "Mother," cried Joseph, "oh, mother!" Indeed, Master had been a mother to us all. Ah, and how much more than a mother! Miss Lancaster gazed at me in anguish. How many thousands of years it took, marveled an older disciple, gazing upon him in quiet awe, to produce such a perfect face. Later on, after we'd left the room, Diamata remained alone with Master's body. As she gazed at him, a tear formed on his left eyelid and slowly trickled down his cheek. Lovingly she caught it with her handkerchief. In death as in life, he was telling his beloved disciple, and through her the rest of us, "I love you always, through endless cycles of time, unconditionally, without any desire except for your happiness, forever in God."